Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
You know, I gotta wonder what kind of working relationship you'd have with Satan.
It's Mike Shope.
I've often wondered that. Like, he, they, I don't know what his pronouns are, or their pronouns. Anyway, Satan.
And the Bulldog.
Maybe, what's the upside of doing well?
Well, maybe they're too busy making everyone else's life hell.
Oh, boy.
And you might just be able to do your own thing if you're partnered with Satan.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They're too busy, you know, making Scott Norwood miss field goals.
Oh, come on.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right. You got it working?
Everything's just to be in order, yes.
Oh, damn. I was hoping not.
You miss one day around here, and it's like, you know, I got a new secret handshake to get into the computer.
What's this? Is it just never going to – what's this deal with this people in here before we get here?
I know.
Is that the new norm?
That seems like it's probably permanent. I don't know that the
– I'm in here, like, every day. I'm sweating.
The people that were
trying
here
to make
today,
everything work.
Brad and Tim.
How does Brad sit like this?
The most frequent – group that's here 1 to 3, but I don't know if they're permanent, but I think it's permanent that someone is going to be in here 1 to 3.
It's ahead of us. How does Brad sit in this chair the way he does?
I don't know. Is it on the ground basically?
Yes.
Like it's like your knees are up to your
and
chin.
He has the option. He's always done that. Really?
Yes. I remember him doing that at WBEN back in the 90s.
You see what I'm doing now, those of you who are watching, rocking like this, being able to sort of sit back. He doesn't have that. He just locks it in.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you prefer that?
I used to be locked in. Now I like to be able to sit back.
Why would you prefer to have it be stationary when you can have the option of moving?
I used to feel like I don't want to be that relaxed. I want the support. I want to be, you know,
relaxed is bad.
We're working, you know, I want to be at attention. So, but now I've eased up. I have the, see, you can tell I'm talking from leaning back.
Yeah, I mean, that's.
It's natural now. But there was
the only thing I'm missing is a cigar, really. That's the only thing that would enhance my sort of relaxed state. Not every day can be like that, but today sort of feels like that.
Well, good. I'm glad I'm back for that. I missed yesterday.
Yes. I think probably when I'm in here alone, I'm more up, you know,
a
little bit
right.
Less relaxed, probably. Like, who's going to talk if I don't? How big a story for you is the camp schedule? So I've known for about a week that
same here.
It was going to be short.
Yeah.
8 morning practices. And part of that is that they are starting late because the season starts later than usual. So it's maybe the latest it can be. The latest training camp start, July 29th, which is almost August. So it's basically August. And then you have the 7th is the last day. It's all in the morning. I mean, the only thing I would say about that is people who like to go to training camp that can't go in the morning can't go at all. Like there's no one practice that's later in the day or at night even like we used to have. I mean, McDermott pretty much ran them in the morning. And I thought maybe Brady would be different, but it's not. So it's 8 practices all in the morning, 8:30, and that's it. And then the next week, they're out of there, and they're in the stadium for that scrimmage, and that's the end of it. And I don't want to seem, like, incredulous, because this is always kind of the way it feels like it's trending.
Right.
But I think it's a pretty big deal that they're there for a week only.
I do, too.
Why bother?
I think, good question. I wonder how much longer they'll continue to bother. Like, I don't know what the status of the relationship, you know, the contract, the agreement between the Bills and St. John Fisher University.
It's harder even for me.
Is. So I don't know if they're year to year or if they agreed to a 3-year or something. I have no idea where that lies. But yeah, it's not a lot to say. I was bracing for this when McDermott first got here, because I felt like I heard some things early on that indicated that he didn't love that idea, and that maybe the Bills were going to try to end that relationship. And it's, you know, obviously went on another 9 years, and here's a 10th year. But yeah, you're right. Every cool old school kind of not expensive opportunity that fans have to be around their teams, those become in shorter and shorter supply as the years go by. And this is going to be another one. It remains to be seen. You know, I'm sort of already guessing at how much longer they'll even bother with it at all. Because at some point you might go, if we're only going to be there for a week, why bother?
Yeah.
Right. But I do like that they're still going to maintain that opportunity for fans to, it's going to be, you know, more limited than it's ever been. So good on them for maintaining at least that, but it's another signpost on the way to, you know, you don't get to be close to your team unless, you know, you can afford it, kind of thing. Because to me, I don't know if everyone feels this way, but like the absolute most charming thing about summertime football practice is that it doesn't cost anything to go, and you've way more access. And, you know, sure, there's a line, and it's more organized than it used to be to get autographs and whatever. But at least you still, if your kids are football crazed, you have an opportunity maybe to even take a day off of work and go do that. And, like, that's a, you know, a lot of families have done that. And those opportunities just start to go by the boards, I think, as we get older. So it's not surprising, but that doesn't make it, you know, fail to rise to the level of being disappointing. I think it's disappointing.
That's right.
That it's another opportunity. You know, just because I've been expecting it for longer than, you know, before it happened, it doesn't soften it anymore if it's a thing that people really look forward to doing. So it's disappointing. I'm not mad about it, but it's kind of a bummer, I think.
And this comes up, this kind of thing comes up a lot, and it's not just me, but it's not everybody either. The thing about stuff like this is, it gets to be, you get to a point where you feel like you're wasting energy complaining about it. Because forces are so one way when it comes to money, that what am I doing, like mental health, right? That's what we say now. What am I doing to my mental health if I get upset about just how at every turn, whether it's, well, in this case, like I'm not a fan who goes to training camp, I've done it. This, if you are one of those people, or like what channel are the channel, has the show ever sounded older? Where can I find the game and how much does that cost? Like all that kind of stuff just sort of bleeds you dry to varying degrees. And you just don't want to, you don't want to succumb to the frustrations and the sadness of all of that stuff. So what are you supposed to do? Ignore it? And the length of Bill's training camp is very small on this list of these things.
Right.
It's not that big to that many people. And there still is going to be a week.
There is still that opportunity, yes.
But it's just like at every, I read, you probably did too, anybody who's on the list, we got an email, everybody did, in the media probably, from the Bills today announcing changes to their front office. I mean, these are job titles I'm not even sure I've ever heard before, but okay. Senior Director of Game Presentation and Entertainment. Well, I guess somebody has to do that.
That's a job.
If I go to a game and I don't like the music, somebody is in charge of the music. Managing Director, Media Sales and Affiliate Relations. Senior Director, Partner and Premium Hospitality. I think, you know, that's all fine. Congratulations to these people who, you know, they've earned these jobs. These kind of emails also suck the life out of me, because I feel like they're a stealth attempt to stuff as many big words that we can't even really find the strength to think about into one announcement as possible. The Bills themselves, the at the end of the email, it's about Highmark Stadium. In conjunction with Legends and architectural firm Populous, the Bills have left no stone on. This is like about us, right? This is the email. It's about us. The Bills have left no stone unturned in covering every innovative element of new stadium design and fan amenities, including featuring iconic Buffalo architecture and the deep-rooted spirit of Bills Mafia, which they bought the name Bills Mafia. Like, just I don't even know what that means. The open-air football-first venue. Football first, what literally else is ever going to happen there? They're spending billions just for Bills games. Nothing else is there ever going to happen there, probably.
Oh,
the
open air, I don't think that's right.
I hope you're right. Football first venue, I mean, first by how much, will feature premium reserved seating that delivers an elevated game day experience and atmosphere. A striking canopy structure will provide seating bowl coverage, enhancing fan comfort.
Please stop.
Can I just, what happened to sports? What happened to sports? How many yards are there on the field? What happened to sports? The Bills? Fans will enjoy 360-degree concourses, frictionless food and beverage marketplaces. Frictionless. That's a draw? They don't have to touch anything? Didn't we just auction off
or anyone.
Urinals and troughs? Frictionless. Is that it? That's a word?
And cutting edge, it's auto, desirable, apparently.
Apparently, I like cutting edge audio like visual friction. Features, a new sporting stadium standard. What is this place? It's on the moon.
It's gonna be awesome. Gonna be awesome. That's all they could have told you.
Transformative project is a public-private emphasis on public. It should be in caps. Public-private partnership. Where were we?
Training camp
is only
truncated.
A week. Yeah. How long was Niagara when they had training camp in Niagara? 2 months? They had 6 preseason games.
Yeah. I mean, when I started in the 90s, camp was literally a month.
Can anybody tell me what that is, that whole paragraph, what that means? Is it going to be fun?
I already told you. The stadium's going to be awesome. That's it. They could have just sent that out. But that's not.
That'd be better.
Yeah.
Whatever this nonsense is.
Yep. It's going to be awesome.
This is the about us paragraph.
We did a lot of things that you're going to make you love it here. So, you know, yeah.
Hopefully they'll be good. I mean, that's
important.
I think I'm a bad person. I couldn't care less about giant buffalo statues. I couldn't care less. Why? Why is that interesting?
I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know.
What do I have to not do? Like, I'm not mad. I just don't care. Why do I care if they have buffalo statues? What is that going to do? Is that enhancing my game day experience?
Yeah, I think so.
Somebody?
I think so. All right. Yes. I'm kind of into
enhancing
the buffalo statues.
Somebody else's.
I wanted the buffalo statues to be, like many people, preposterously large. And I don't want to rule on that till I think we saw the baby bison today is what we saw. So I don't know how big, but I was hoping like maybe I, you know, could see them from like, you know, I don't know.
Are they frictionless?
Chestnut Ridge. Probably.
Am I allowed to touch them?
No.
Are they frictionless buffaloes?
I would not think you're going to be touching these buffalo statues.
Then they're frictionless. Well, that's good. You wouldn't want to die from having to touch something at the stadium. I don't know. All right.
I have been anticipating the arrival of the bison statues myself. Really. I mean, I don't know. So I have to admit that I rise above the level of not caring at all. You know, is it vitally important to my existence? Of course not. But I think it's pretty cool that they're going to have the big buffaloes. Big bison. It's bisons, not buffaloes.
Bison.
Bison. See, I learned this. I went to Yellowstone. These are the things you get taught.
Oh.
Those are not buffalo. They're bison. Get it together.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's not quite RIP training camp, but almost.
Right. Yeah. That I think is the next...
Frictionless.
The next step is
training camp is almost frictionless.
That just doesn't, you know, that doesn't exist. And maybe they do, you know, they'll have, right, they're having a stadium practice. There will be an evening, right? That is the last thing on that schedule that I think got released today.
But it's here.
Right. It's at the new stadium.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But that's cool, right? I mean, people will get to go to that, so that's awesome. So maybe they'll still always do that in the summer.
Is it free?
It always has been.
Okay,
it's just one of those things you got to get tickets for.
Good.
But to my knowledge, it's never been something you had to pay for.
So the Buffaloes are the iconic Buffalo architecture reference here, probably? Is that?
No, I'll bet that there's elements inside the stadium that are hat tips to different. Yeah.
Like the Darwin Martin House?
Maybe, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
That would qualify.
I don't know what's in there because, like you, I've not ever been in there.
No.
You know.
I went at least to that stadium experience.
Yeah, right. You business. Did see that. I never even got to do that. We were invited to do that. I had a conflict and couldn't make it that day. So it wasn't, you know, wasn't that we weren't invited or I wasn't invited.
You're right, though. You're right to call me out. I'm having a day where I'm just mad at everything. Kind of.
It happens.
Like, just
you're that age.
So somebody deserves a Pulitzer, probably, for working so many stupid, meaningless words, corporate words, into one email. I think that's probably something that would win awards in a completely different universe than the one I live
My
in.
My favorite, for sure, is Frictionless.
Frictionless.
That's strong.
Wow. I got to see this place. I can buy a hot dog without touching anything. Do I have to, do I get to touch the, well, let's say beer. Do I get to drink the beer? Can I drink the beer without touching it? Is there a technology for that yet?
Ugh. Maybe with a straw.
Maybe. I don't know. Buffalo statues. That's good. You just can't touch them. And you wouldn't want to? Is that what you said?
I don't know that I wouldn't want to. I'm imagining they're going to be behind something, some sort of a cordoned off like that. I don't think you want people showing up there in the middle of the night climbing on them.
No,
which I think
really?
if they were, you know, accessible to the extent where you could touch them, then that would probably happen, and I think that would be bad.
I think I have to admit, contributing to this bad attitude of mine is Harry Skull's video from the tunnel,
where they're taking it all apart. Like just a pile of dirt in
just
the stadium.
Just a big
now.
Mud pit.
Yeah,
walking through the tunnel. I've done that. I don't have the record for most times walking through that tunnel, but. You know, that's a special image. It's a special part of, like, every stadium has their own kind of an iconic Bills, the stadium, the fan base. It's also famously cool, and the fans are so loyal. Everything that comes with sort of like the Bills fan persona, if you will, and the tunnel. I'm thinking of, like, just NFL film stuff of players, you know. Kelly is the first player I think of for this, walking down that ramp from the tunnel onto the field, and just the roar of the, it's all just dust now,
right.
Almost.
Yep.
And, I mean, that was always going to happen, too.
I think I only made that, I got to do that walk one time, make that walk one time.
Onto the field?
Yeah. I covered a lot of Sabres, but like the Bills, as far as like, you know, I've been in the media room a million times, but I never was there. I don't think I've ever been in the Bills locker room.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Ever?
Yeah.
Oh,
really?
Wow.
Like I think even back in the 90s, I don't think training camp, different thing, but this, no, but I took part in like a some health insurance, carrier sponsored a wellness thing. And there was like I got gloves. Fred Jackson gave me sticky gloves and I participated in like a challenge of some kind with other media. And I got to walk down the tunnel and run around on the field.
Even when it was you and I would go on the field before games like every time.
Right. You always did that.
With Joe Biscaglia.
Right.
We'd walk on the field and we'd talk about his socks. And we'd walk around and take pictures and stuff. They put a stop to that, though. I guess that was a threat.
Our level of press pass was no longer allowed on the field.
Yeah, that must have been just too much for the
Bills. In fact, I believe our credential the last few years we were going even said in like big bold letters somewhere, no field access.
I'm sure it did.
You are not allowed. Here's one place you can't go.
And
the only place you really want to go. That's the place you can't go.
That's right. And if you see something interesting, don't tell anybody. That's one of their rules, too. You see somebody, hey, he's lining up at left tackle today. Well, shut up. Don't ever say a word about it. You can tell your friends that's it, or else you're out of here.
Even that's risky.
Even that's depending on who your friends are.
What if they take to social media? Hey, Bulldog told me.
You know, This is in keeping with the theme today, but when I think I was in that locker room 100 times, and at least, and I think of like sort of the memories I enjoy the least are the ones that I think of first.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's John Fina, or it's Ted Washington.
Someone being grouchy or
it's just some jerk.
Rude.
Yeah. Yes, it's just some jerk who won't even play by the easy rules. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had lots of, you know who I really liked? Ken Irvin. Remember him?
Yes.
That was a guy that would always sort of be nice to you and talk to you. I'm trying to think of the guys that I enjoyed.
Liked.
Ostrowski.
Encountering. Yeah, Jerry O was great.
Kent Hall, those guys. I mean, it's a long time ago now, but
yep.
I haven't been in there in many years. I'm sure it's all different. Well, this is an adjustment. Trying to get to a place where we can have an interesting conversation other than just being mad at the world. Frictionless. Will I be allowed to sit in my seat, or do I have to sort of hover? Is the friction between my butt and the seat allowed? Is that something I should look forward to?
Oh, it better be, baby.
Am I allowed to sit there? Do I need to bring like a towel or something so that I don't do any damage to the place? Frictionless. What a word. And I thought this was a little bit interesting. Highmark Stadium, the Bills in this ridiculous piece of literature, that's what it's called. It's not New Highmark Stadium. Mm-hmm. There's no sort of allusion that I saw in there today to like remind you that it's a different place.
I think once they started tearing the old one down, I think they felt pretty comfortable. You wouldn't make the mistake of going to the old stadium for something.
In the spirit of World Cup, I wanted to call it Buffalo Stadium.
Right.
And there's Buffaloes.
Or Orchard Park Stadium.
Orchard Park Stadium.
what are we going to go with there?
Western New York Stadium, Lake Erie, Bay Area, right? We have.
Oh, is that a thing? Bay Area Stadium?
Bay Area. Mm-hmm. San Francisco Bay Area, or just Bay Area, because it's not in. We have New York, New Jersey, mm-hmm. which is not in New York. We have Boston, which is not in Boston, even close to Boston.
Right. It's basically in Orchard Park.
Like, farther.
It's even farther. Okay.
I think it's more like an hour away.
Oh, wow.
From, isn't it?
I thought it was like
Foxborough?
Within 40 minutes or half an hour.
I think it's closer to Providence.
Yeah. Okay.
We're not calling it Providence Stadium.
No. No,
we're
not.
I think I've just already exhausted you.
Yeah, I'm reconsidering arranging my
Coming
days
in.
Off differently next time. Maybe I should have taken today off. Because I burned yesterday, and I just didn't even. I sat on the couch and watched, which was fine. I had a fine day, but I mean, I had big plans, and I got rained out. It wasn't raining yesterday, but I couldn't play golf because it was too wet. We were supposed to play, and I watched 4 soccer matches. I didn't see the end of. I fell asleep during New Zealand Iran, but the other 3 I saw. I think every minute of, really.
4 draws.
4 draws. Right. One of them scoreless.
Right.
Thanks for coming.
Arguably, that was the most interesting too.
Yes. Right.
The Spain. First one.
Yeah. Yep.
So, I don't mind.
Very enjoy. You know, I don't mind at all. I had a great. I really enjoyed all of it. The hour in between. The matches I thought was interesting. I feel like I learned stuff. Just don't ask me about any of it. I mean, I felt like I took a lot in. Like yesterday was my first real, you know, we've had it on in here. I watched the USA Friday night. Yesterday was like long haul trucking. I'm watching the world. And I never even one time thought, I wonder if there's a ball game on or anything. I just was on Fox or Fox Sports 1 all day and I never moved. And it was good. Like, the coverage was, I think,
very good.
Yeah.
I agree.
Really, really good.
I've only found one broadcast team that I don't like. For me, that's saying a lot.
That's tremendous.
I think John Strong and Stu Holden, the main, are great. And they might have had Spain yesterday, actually. Not just the U.S. games.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they're both really, really good. So a lot of it's exceptional for me. And you're saying the same. Well, tee me up, I guess. I don't know. That could go completely sideways today. I just... frictionless. I don't promise to be frictionless today. I think I'm quite not.
I don't think I want you to be.
I think I'm quite not frictionless today. I think there's going to be... There's already been friction. I promise friction. Hopefully, that's a good thing.
No, you being mad about the bison statues, that's friction.
I don't mind them. I just don't get why they're so interesting. What's cool about it?
Because they're new. We've never had them before. That's it. that's really it.
Okay. You understand you can't ride them. They're not an amusement park.
I'm going to just go ahead and say, I mean, I haven't had a meeting on this, but I'm 100% sure you are not allowed to ride.
No, they're not mechanical bulls here.
No, they're not. No.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, at 803-0550. Mike Giardi coming up. We can ask him exactly how far away from Boston Stadium is.
All right.
That's a little bit later. Thanks for listening. Lines are open for your calls. This is WGR.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You just don't know when the team is, whatever the record could be in the middle of the season, scrutiny is getting louder. How does a head coach in that position, how do they react the course of a game? A minute left at 4th-and-3, you're at midfield. They've got to make that decision in the snap of a finger. You can talk about it, you can think about it, and in all these head coach interviews, they simulated, they had a pretty good sense that Joe Brady could react the right way in those situations. You don't know until you see it.
Tyler Dunn. Yesterday afternoon, golongtd.com.
Another reason I wish I'd been here yesterday instead of today. I miss Tyler. Nothing against Mike. I'm going to enjoy Mike Giardi in half an hour. He's a favorite of ours. But I miss Tyler.
Had the same instinct as you just then. Wait, this sounds bad toward the guy that's going to be on this show.
Right?
I didn't mean that.
No, I definitely did not mean that.
How interested are you? I know the show preceding ours was in on this topic. Brendan Sorsby. So now he's going to try to get into the NFL after all.
Mm-hmm.
The supplemental draft. My favorite thing about the supplemental draft is supplemental draft trivia.
you've been digging in.
I
on supplemental draft.
The Kozar thing is wild, what happened. And as I said to you earlier today, man, if this happened in the present, we would just never stop analyzing
I
it.
I think that's probably right.
The Bills made The way it's always seemingly written is, like, quietly made a trade with the Browns in 1985 so that the Browns would have the Bills' supplemental pick. I'm not sure if even technically the Bills didn't make the pick themselves and then trade it to Cleveland. I don't know which happened first. But the Browns wanted Bernie Kosar, who wanted them.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not eligible for the real draft in those days because he hadn't completed school, but he's like, I'll actually finish as a sophomore after 2 years at Miami. He's like, I'll do that. I'll complete, get all my credits and then enter the NFL. I'll be allowed to do that. But for a while, it wasn't known whether he had. The Miami Hurricanes reported to the league that he had, but he didn't sign anything. And so Minnesota, what? It's wild, right? It's already crazy.
I'm loving the idea of NFL teams waiting and, like, there's some typing professor at the University of Miami has not turned in a grade yet for Bernie Kosar, so we don't know if he has all the credits he needs yet.
Right.
Like, what are we waiting on here?
Right. That might have been the case.
Right. I love that.
So he wants to go pro, and he wants to go to Cleveland. He's from there. He said it. Minnesota didn't care that much about that. They trade up with Houston in the 85 draft. The Bills have the first pick. They're taking Bruce Smith. And they have Kelly, although he's not here yet. So they didn't have any interest in Kosar, didn't need Kosar. Minnesota trades up to like 3 so that they can pick him. But they don't know for sure whether he's going to be in the draft, and eventually he's not. And so there's a lawsuit. Houston wants the pick back. So Houston sues the league and Pete Rozelle, the commissioner of the league then, and they want the draft stopped. They want the draft to not happen because of this confusion.
Forever and ever or just for this year?
I don't know.
When it will abolish the
draft. At least for 1985.
Okay.
So quietly, the Bills make this deal with the Browns, and the Bills get their first, their third, a 6th, and Chip Banks. linebacker Chip Banks, who was an All-Pro. And the Browns get the rights to that supplemental pick, which had the Bills not traded it, they would have been the first overall pick the next year, but they did. So one thing that happened was, what I read, nobody could find Chip Banks to tell him about this trade. I mean, it was like the spring anyway.
Right.
Nobody could find him. So the Bills...
It's on a fishing trip.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Just like, I'm not answering my phone. I don't want to be traded.
Right.
I don't know. So
you were traveling everywhere with a phone. Like, not being like, well, the number we have, they say he's not there. They don't know where he is.
Nobody knows where he is.
Okay.
So they can't... The Bills don't get Chip Banks. Instead, they get Cleveland's number one the next year instead, which seems a lot better.
Sure. I mean, they might have liked the idea of Chip Banks helping them right away, but still, a first-round pick from the Cleveland Browns usually is pretty good.
Usually. And it was like middle of the pack, and it was Ronnie Harmon, I think, the Bills used that pick on. Cleveland, right? Sort of ironic.
Yeah, right.
So the Browns do pick Kozar in the supplemental draft, and the Bills get that haul, but they end up relinquishing the 101 in 86. I think it would have been the 101 or 102. Tampa was bad, too. That was Bo Jackson. Anyway, this is not about Brendan Sorsby.
No, it's not about Brendan Sorsby. I think the most interesting facet of the Brendan Sorsby, it's a saga now. There have been more than one lawsuit. He was not going to be able to play college football, and he was going to be allowed to play college football, and then everybody else complained about that, so now he's probably not going to be able to play college football, so now he's back to this square on the board, which is, I'm going to try the supplemental draft. I mean, he's already carrying the stigma of having had a, you know, obviously a big enough problem with gambling that it cost him some portion of his college career. I don't know how hard and fast the rules are, and I know lots of people will be waiting to tell us how duplicitous it is, but I'm assuming the league, the NFL I'm talking about, will – this guy's already got strikes on him, I would think, as far as gambling goes. So, you're gonna have to swallow hard and trust this kid if you're going to invest in him, because he might be one mishap away from being gone forever because of what happened already in college with him. And so that, I mean, I know teams are generally pretty risk averse, you know, to some extent. It depends on how talented you are. I don't know that this guy is so talented that somebody's just going to go, all right, I'm not going to worry about that. Especially with a supplemental pick. Like, what, you know, you'd basically be just, all right, I'm going to do this in lieu of doing something that might be a better idea 8 months or 9 months from now. And I don't know, that feels like a very small head of a needle that I'm trying to thread there if I'm this kid. So I don't know. I think anything could happen. Somebody could fall in love with him and think he's as good as Ty Simpson or better, and I'm just going to shoot my shot. But the scarlet letter already with the gambling stuff, I think, is it's a big enough deal that, I don't know, I'm quarterback needy. I don't know that I'm getting in line for this guy. I might wait and avail myself, wait and see who shows up from JUCO and has a great year next year and just wait until the regular draft.
Well, I saw in the Bet Online, the requisite Bet Online email for anything that can be bet on in sports, that the likeliest, according to the betting markets, the likeliest outcome is that he goes in the third round. And as fair as everything you just said is, I think if I'm a team that does not have the answer already on my roster at that position, I'm totally using my third round pick in the supplemental draft. Like, imagine if you knew that next year in the third round you could get something close to the best quarterback in this draft. You mean, of course, you would not even have a chance to do that.
Right, that's right.
So, I mean, mistakes are made. Watson, not the same issues, but still, like, you're making a gamble on somebody that, you know, it could turn out badly. And in a sense, that's every draft pick, you know? Like,
right.
Even
right.
If there hasn't been something yet, maybe they just can't play. Maybe they don't have the head for it.
Or maybe they're about to do the dumb thing. But yeah, but the fact that this guy's already got, And I'm speaking from a position of not knowing exactly what the league would do with this. If he shows up and gets caught doing anything on a gambling app again, is he done? Like, I want to know that before I'm even using a third round supplemental pick on him. Because I don't know the answer to that, and it might not work that way. Maybe he's got a clean sheet now that he's it's the NFL. It's a new chapter. We don't hold against you what you did, you know, when you were in college. I don't know.
Or maybe even we can't.
Yeah, right. I don't know how that all comes together. So there might not even be anything to the, you know, the deterrent of picking him because he's already got, you know, he's already got a book. He's already got a record, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. But I do remember, I think when we first talked about him, when this story first cropped up, when he was trying to even, I think when it was first floated that he might go to the supplemental draft, I think I saw Doug Farrar say, like, one of the guys that we all follow for football, you know, prospect rankings and stuff, said right around the same level prospect as Ty Simpson. Who was that? Rams took him, what, 13th or something?
Yeah.
There could be great value there in the third round. You know, if that's a third round pick, like you're saying, but you're just going to have to trust it.
I want to know more about. I'm eager to learn more about how this actually physically works. This draft, like, do they just sort of have everybody on a call? They don't convene for this, I would assume.
I don't believe it.
So everybody's on the phone and they just sort of go in order. And if there's, you know, we can say pass or just
mm-hmm.
be silent or something. And then you lose. Hopefully it's not 10 minutes per pick.
Right.
And if you're the Jets, I mean, the Jets, I think, are probably the team that would be the likeliest to make sense for this player because, I mean, Geno Smith, but still, like, they're one of these teams that just does not have a clear answer and are just dying for one. Do you even wait until the third round just in case some Arizona or somebody is
right.
going to beat you to him?
Right.
Maybe you just don't. Maybe you just – I don't know. I think even some of these teams and their GMs would have little to no experience. Most would have little to no experience about sort of like strategy when it comes to this. So – that could be fun. In fantasy, I know everybody is trying to figure out what to do with him because most of your rookie drafts are over and he's not in the league yet. He might not even be on your site.
Right.
And I think the only thing you can do is leave him for waivers once you get, you know, most leagues don't run waivers until close to the season. And he's in the pool at that point if he ends up being drafted in the supplemental draft. I don't know what else you can do. You're not going to do the whole draft over.
Probably not.
As much fun as drafts can be.
Not just for this one guy. Yeah, no, that seems a bit much.
Yeah. Mike Giardi coming up in 20 minutes, 803-0550 for us. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.